Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Teen indicted in fentanyl death. An 18-year-old Odessa man is scheduled to be arraigned Monday on a murder charge in connection with the drug overdose of another teenager. Avian Daniel Sanchez was indicted on a murder charge February 29th in the December death of Ryan Mojica and will be arraigned Monday by Ector County District Court Judge Justin Lowe. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said deputies responded to an ambulance run on Broken Bow shortly after 6 a.m. December 7th. Mojica was taken to Medical Center Hospital for a possible overdose, and despite life-saving measures being taken, he died. ECSO detectives learned during the ensuing investigation, Sanchez had sold Mojica fentanyl pills and fentanyl was found in Mojica's system. Griffiths said, Sanchez admitted to selling Mojica the pills that when interviewed by detectives, he said. Sanchez, who was 17 at the time of the incident, remains in the Ector County Jail on a $200,000 surety bond.
Midland High student honored with Texas Theater Scholar Award, March 6, 2024, by Kathy Chateau. A Star is Born at Midland High School's Theater Department. Madison Coleman is a recent recipient of the Texas Theater Scholar Award by the Texas Thespians for the 2023-2024 school year. Coleman is not only an active member of the school's theater department, but also an excellent academic student who underwent a rigorous application process to earn the award designation. She began her theater journey from the ground up, first working as a stage crew member as a freshman and graduating to acting her sophomore year. During the spring of her sophomore year, Coleman's team won the UIL one-act play state championship. Now during her junior year, Madison, who also plays an active role with costumes and props, has earned her esteemed Texas Theater Scholar Award. Madison's dedication to her craft and her commitment to excellence are inspiring for our entire program, said MHS Theater Director Tiffany Gardner Moore. She embodies the spirit of our theater, and I am immensely proud of her accomplishments.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram's oil report for Saturday, March 2nd. Atlas Energy agrees to acquire Hi-Crush assets. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Two major propane providers to Permian Basin oil and gas operators are planning to combine into what will become the country's largest propane producer and a leading logistics provider. Atlas Energy Solutions has agreed to acquire Hi-Crush Incorporated's Permian Basin propane production assets and North American logistics operations in a deal valued at $450 million. Kyle Turlington, Vice President, Investor Relations with Atlas, told a reported telegram in a telephone interview that the combination will give Atlas economies of scale much like those sought by exploration and production companies. In addition, he said it will allow Atlas to enhance its offerings to customers, broaden its customer base, and expand its market share in the Midland Basin. Quote, Hi-Crush has the leading market share in wet sand, and we are primarily a dry sand producer, he said. Atlas is constructing a 42-mile electrified conveyor system to carry sand from Atlas's mine at Kermit into Lee County, New Mexico, and Turlington said the deal will offer the opportunity to add volumes to that system. Quote, we are excited about the deal, he said. Hi-Crush has one of the most talented workforces in the industry, and especially on the plant side, we'll need all of them. I expect Hi-Crush workforce will come over to Atlas. End quote. The combined entity will have production capacity expected to be about 28 million tons, with 80% 2024 production capacity already contracted. Adds about 12 million tons per year of production capacity, of which about 5 million tons in Kermit is close to Atlas's existing Kermit facility, and 7 million tons from Encore's distributed mining network. Expected to realize more than $20 million in annual synergies by 2026. Turlington said improved efficiencies have offset the decline in the rig count, though he said Atlas has seen a pickup in activity since the fourth quarter of 2023. Quote, "We've seen activity come back. We've seen frac crews come back. We've seen a pickup in the volume of activity. We expect activity levels to stay level, slightly higher than where they are today," he said.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. Midland Health. What to know about lymphedema? Have you ever experienced or seen anyone with swelling in their legs or arms that never decreased or even worsened? No matter if you take diuretics, elevate that part of the body, or rest, the swelling never gets better. This may be lymphedema. Lymphedema is a chronic condition that consists of swelling in any part of the body, legs, arms, head, neck, chest, breast, groin, that is a result of an impairment to the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system is an important part of our immune system that consists of lymphatic vessels and lymph nodes. Every day, the lymphatic system takes 2 liters of fluid from our body that is filtered through our lymph nodes and either enters our bloodstream or our kidneys, where we eliminate the fluid through urination. There are two types of lymphedema: primary lymphedema and secondary lymphedema. Primary lymphedema is genetic and can occur at birth, after puberty, and before or after menopause. This is typically seen in family members such as parents, aunts, uncles, or grandparents. Maybe these family members always had large legs or large arms that were swollen and either stayed the same or worsened with time. The cause of primary lymphedema is due to abnormal lymphatic system development. Secondary lymphedema is when something causes an impairment to the lymphatic system, such as cancer treatment, surgery, especially involving lymph nodes, major injuries, vascular diseases, i.e. chronic venous insufficiency, and more. The most common cause for secondary lymphedema in America is due to cancer treatment, such as surgery and radiation. Cancer-related secondary lymphedema can occur at any time during or after cancer treatment. How do I know if I have lymphedema? Do you have constant swelling that gets worse throughout the day, increases when the weather gets warmer, or swelling that increases with activity? This may be lymphedema, especially if it has persisted for greater than 3 months. How do I treat lymphedema? While there is currently no cure for lymphedema, there are management techniques to significantly decrease the swelling, improve overall function, and decrease risk for further complications such as wounds or infections. Lymphedema treatment consists of manual lymph drainage, compression garments, skin care, and exercise. If you think you may have lymphedema, see your primary care physician for a referral to West Texas Therapy. If you have any questions or concerns, please call 432-221-4915 and ask for Kristen Uyck, PT, DPT, CLT-LANA, the Certified Lymphedema Therapist. B Award. New program recognizes outstanding patient care. Midland Health is proud to introduce a new facet of its recognition program, the B Award, dedicated to acknowledging the exemplary performance of Certified Nursing Assistants, CNAs, and Patient Care Assistants, PCAs, within our healthcare organization. This commendable initiative seeks to honor the exceptional contributions of our non-licensed nursing personnel who have consistently delivered compassionate, empathetic, and professional care to our patients and their families. These caregivers are pivotal in Midland Health's pursuit of fostering the healthiest community in Texas, embodying its deeply rooted values with every patient interaction. The BE Award celebrates those who display a remarkable commitment to patient care, mirroring the attributes that define Midland Health. Empathy and a caring attitude, remarkable skill in care delivery, positivity in the workplace, and strong alignment with the mission, vision, and values of Midland Memorial Hospital. Nominate a deserving caregiver. Midland Health invites staff members, patients, and visitors to help recognize these extraordinary individuals by submitting nominations through Midland Health's online portal or by filling out a paper nomination form available across all Midland Health facilities. By sharing stories of outstanding encounters, we can collectively express our gratitude to the caregivers who establish meaningful connections with patients and reinforce the warmth of our community. Award details. Honorees of the B Award will be celebrated publicly within their respective units and will receive a handsome certificate, a distinctive award pin, and heartfelt tokens of appreciation. Quote, we understand the profound impact our CNAs and PCAs have on the patient experience, end quote, said Jessica Tully, Director of Medical Surgical Division of Midland Memorial Hospital. Quote, their dedication to press patient care is nothing short of inspiring, and the B Award is a reflection of our immense appreciation of their unwavering professionalism and kindness, end quote. Advancing healthcare in Midland. Ranked by the County Health Rankings as the 36th healthiest county in Texas, Midland Health continues its mission to lead healthcare for Greater Midland. With over 2,500 devoted employees, physicians, and volunteers, the organization is advancing towards its goal of becoming the healthiest community in the state. Midland Health invites you to be a witness to the honoring of the first B Award recipients and support the ongoing efforts to acknowledge excellence in healthcare. For more information about the B Award, nomination process, and the mission at Midland Health, please visit midlandhealth.org/main/B Award or contact the Program and Recognitions Department. Understanding frontotemporal dementia. Frontotemporal dementia, FTD, is a group of neurologic disorders associated with changes in personality, behavior, language, or movement. Some FTD forms are inherited and some are not. Typically, people develop FTD symptoms before age 60. While there is no cure for this progressive decline, FTD research has made significant strides in the past two decades, says Dr. Bradley Bove, a Mayo Clinic neurologist. Quote, there are a few other neurodegenerative disorders where we have learned so much over a relatively short period of time, end quote, says Bove, a co-principal investigator of the ALL-FTD study, an international consortium funded by the National Institutes of Health to target FTD. Quote, we understand the biology of the disease that much better. The optimism for therapeutics is so much greater than even 2 or 3 years ago. There is definitely hope, end quote. What are the types of FTD disorders? As the name suggests, FTD affects the frontal lobe and or temporal lobes of the brain. Signs and symptoms vary depending on which part of the brain is atrophying or shrinking. Genetic mutations and dysfunctional proteins in the brain have been linked to FTD. Several disorders fall under the umbrella term of frontotemporal degeneration. Frontotemporal dementia, also known as behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia, brain changes primarily in the frontal lobe cause the personality and behavior changes of frontotemporal dementia. Common signs are increasingly inappropriate social behavior, loss of empathy and other people skills, such as having sensitivity to another's feelings, lack of judgment, loss of inhibition, lack of interest, apathy, which can be mistaken for depression, repetitive compulsive behavior, such as tapping, clapping, or smacking lips, decline in personal hygiene, changes in eating habits, usually overeating or preferring sweets and carbohydrates. Quote, personality and behavior changes tend to occur early. Disinhibited behavior, doing things that are a bit off color or out of character for that individual, end quote, Bove explains. Quote, loss of empathy, for example, if someone were to be at a funeral, not showing the usual types of sorrow for such a somber setting, end quote. Primary progressive aphasia. People lose the ability to speak and write and or understand written or spoken language. Primary progressive aphasia also has subtypes. Quote, some people have difficulties expressing language, end quote, Bove explains. Quote, they comprehend reasonably well, but getting the lips and the tongue to manipulate so that words come out with fluency is more of a challenge. As opposed to another variant, coming up with the names of people or objects is the primary difficulty. For others, it's a bit of a mix. Comprehending, also expressing as well as naming items, end quote. The prevalence of behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia and primary progressive aphasia subtypes of FTD worldwide is uncertain. Estimates are between 15 to 22 per 100,000 people who are 45 to 64 years old have FTD. In the U.S., behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia and primary progressive aphasia are estimated to affect 50,000 to 60,000 people. Other disorders also are grouped under the FTD umbrella. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, also called Lou Gehrig's disease, causes lack of muscle control. Muscle twitching and limb weakness or slurred speech often are the first signs. Corticobasal syndrome results in poor coordination and stiffness in the arms or legs, often worse on one side of the body than the other, difficulty thinking and trouble with speech and language. Progressive supranuclear palsy causes problems with walking, balance, eye movements, and swallowing. If FTD disorders have so many similarities, how are they diagnosed? Determining a diagnosis can be challenging. Patients with behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia sometimes are misdiagnosed with a psychiatric or stress-related illness, such as atypical depression, late-onset bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia, or even midlife crisis, Bove says. With assistance from tests to help rule out other disorders, a doctor diagnoses a patient based on symptoms. For example, if patients are having more behavior and personality changes, with or without any language or motor problems, if they have trouble with problem solving and judgment, but memory is relatively preserved, that's more typical of behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia, Bove says. Brain imaging tests are important. An MRI scan may show shrinking of the frontal or temporal lobes of the brain. A PET scan may show metabolic changes in these same regions of the brain. Genetic testing also is helpful. For example, the same mutated gene may cause a brother to have frontotemporal dementia and a sister to have ALS, Bove says. Quote, roughly 20% to 40% of individuals with FTD have a genetic cause or a contributor, and that is more common in Alzheimer's disease, Lewy body disease, and other neurologic disorders, end quote, says Bove, the Little Family Foundation professor of Lewy body dementia. What treatments are available? No treatments are available to stop or slow FTD, but clinical trials are ongoing. Today, treatment focuses on managing symptoms. For behavioral variant frontotemporal dementia, for example, antidepressant and antipsychotic medications may help reduce behavioral problems, but all drugs have side effects, so they must be considered with caution. Medications used for Alzheimer's disease may not be effective, which is another reason an accurate diagnosis is important, Bove notes. Quote, the mainstay of therapy is non-medication approaches. How to assist the patient and family to manage the disinhibition or the repetitive behavior, especially when in social settings or in public, end quote, Bove says. Quote, it's quite challenging for families, but those strategies can be helpful, end quote. Non-medication strategies include avoiding activities that trigger the undesirable behavior, maintaining a calm environment, providing structured routines, simplifying daily tasks, distracting or redirecting attention from problem behaviors. For language problems, speech therapy may be helpful. For motor disorders, physical and occupational therapy, along with structured exercises, may help strength, mobility, and balance. How is frontotemporal dementia different from Alzheimer's disease? Alzheimer's disease is more common among people 75 and older. However, people with early-onset Alzheimer's or frontotemporal dementia typically start exhibiting symptoms in midlife, from roughly age 30 to 60. Memory changes are less common with frontotemporal dementia than with Alzheimer's disease. In FTD, dysfunctional proteins in the brain, called tau or TDP-43, may be drivers of disease. In Alzheimer's disease, amyloid and tau are the two dysfunctional proteins, and they can be measured in a patient's spinal fluid. Cells show how brain awakens from anesthesia. According to a Mayo Clinic study published in Nature Neuroscience, the cells that act as the central nervous system's first line of defense against harm also play a role in helping the brain awaken from anesthesia. This discovery could help pave the way for innovative methods that address post-anesthesia complications. When coming out of anesthesia, more than one-third of patients can experience either extreme drowsiness or hyperactivity, a side effect called delirium. Mayo researchers found that special immune cells in the brain called microglia can act to shield neurons from the after effects of anesthesia to awaken the brain. Quote, "This is the first time we've seen microglia enhance and boost neuronal activity by physically engaging the brain circuits," end quote, says Mayo Clinic neuroscientist Longjun Wu, senior author of the study. The researchers observed microglia wedging between neurons and inhibitory synapses, suppressing neural activity under anesthesia. The microglia appear to be trying to shield the neurons to counteract sedation. The brain consists of a network of neurons that fire and spur activity throughout the body. Neurons are connected by synapses that receive and transmit signals, enabling one to move, think, feel, and communicate. In this environment, microglia help keep the brain healthy, stable, and functioning. Although microglia were discovered more than 100 years ago, it wasn't until the last 20 years that they became a serious research focus.
This is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 7th. Daughter's open marriage reveal gives parent pause. Dear Abby, my daughter and her husband have been together for 10 years, married for 3 of them. They have a 1-year-old daughter. I have just learned they may be getting a divorce. My son-in-law is very controlling, as well as verbally and emotionally abusive. He yells, swears, and slams doors over the littlest things. It has been going on for the past couple of years. My daughter deserves to be happy, and she doesn't want to raise my granddaughter in that environment. However, she just confided to me that they have been in an open marriage for the last 3 months. Both have other people in their lives. I'm having a hard time processing this. I come from the generation where that kind of thing is morally wrong, and I'm heartbroken about the whole thing. I love my daughter and want to support her, but if I don't, I risk losing her and my granddaughter forever. How can I cope? Signed, Completely Thrown in Ohio. Dear Throne, your daughter and son-in-law's open marriage will soon be over. Hallelujah. While you may not approve of your daughter's sexual activity, she's an adult and has a right to live her life as she sees fit. She may have been pressured into trying it. The Bible says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." I strongly recommend you try to remember and follow that dictate if you want to continue to have a relationship with your daughter and grandchild. She may need all of the emotional support she can get. Dear Abby, I have 4 sisters. I have felt like the odd one out my entire life, and they know it. They gossip about me and my children at every opportunity. They are all financially well off. I am not. They take trips and get together frequently and don't include me because they think I can't afford it. When I have made my feelings known, they say I'm too sensitive and a drama queen. I told them they don't have the right to look down on me and judge. How can I get them to stop being so superior and accept me and my children? I have been a widow for 5 years after a long and abusive marriage. They accused me of exaggerating the mental and emotional abuse I experienced. How can I make them understand? Signed, Excluded Sis in Nebraska. Dear Sis, you wrote that you have felt like the odd one out your entire life, and your sisters know it. You also stated that they traveled together without including you because they think you can't afford it. If that's true, do you think they should have paid your fare? If you do, it's presumptuous. After a long and abusive marriage, you must feel like you have been let out of jail. For your sisters to dismiss what you experienced as exaggeration is insensitive and cruel. Because you aren't going to change them, eliminate them from your life. They may be unwilling or unable to give you the inclusion and acceptance you seek from them. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.